In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady of Holy Hope, Saint Joseph, Saint Rita of Cassia, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We hear in the Gospel again the continuing relation of the story of how in the early church there was this confusion at first, or this movement of Judaizers who were trying to make the Gentile converts observe Jewish practices of the old law as being part of the, you might say, the necessary practices of the new covenant. And Peter is finally speaking in this reading from the Acts of the Apostles today, finally laying out the mind of Christ and saying, no, they're not obliged to follow all those ceremonial practices. They're not required to be circumcised. They're not required to observe all those Mosaic feasts of the old covenant, except to celebrate the Passover, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which we offer every day now, not just on one particular day out of the year. And that they should live a moral life, not to be involved with idols and all those things. So the things that retained from the old covenant are, of course, the Ten Commandments, which are the natural law, which everyone is required to follow. Those things, the moral code was still retained of the old covenant because it still holds. It's based on the natural law written in man's heart. So the Jews and the Gentiles are both required to observe those. But the other things which were particular to the Hebrew Old Testament religion, they're not required to follow those. All the other things that were of any importance, the praying of the Psalms and that, have all been incorporated into the Catholic Church. You might say if any Jew were to look at where his hopes and his desires and his religion was leading him to, we'll see it all being fulfilled in the Catholic Church. You know, when they used to have a votive lamp burning next to the Torah. Now we have the votive lamp next to the tabernacle with Christ himself. All the things in the old covenant that were just to be prefigurements, those things have been fulfilled in the Catholic Church. And we should always be mindful of that. Of course, the Jews are our spiritual brothers, and the Jewish religion, the Old Testament religion prior to 70 AD, had many, all those things that they did were prophetic in some way, but they've all been fulfilled in one way or another in the Catholic Church. Christ is the fulfillment of all the prophecies, and the Church is the fulfillment of that new Israel, not the state of Israel, a political state, but the new Israel, the Church of God. That is what the New Testament is referring to, and what St. John the Apocalypse talks about, the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. That's the Church, that's the Bride of Christ. That is what we should always look to. Today we celebrate as the saint, Saint Rita of Cassia, who is the patroness of impossible cases. I'm sure she's a favorite saint of many people then because of that, because she lived a difficult life. Saint Rita was born at Spoleto, Italy in 1381, and at an early age she begged her parents to allow her to enter a convent. Instead, they arranged a marriage for her. Rita became a good wife and mother, but her husband was a man of violent temper. In anger, he often mistreated his wife. He taught their children his own evil ways. Rita tried to perform her duties faithfully and to pray and receive the sacraments frequently. In many cases, you might say she was probably like many abused wives, spouses. She can relate to that, and I'm sure that all those who are suffering in such marriages should look to Saint Rita for hope and strength. After nearly 20 years of marriage, her husband was stabbed by an enemy, but before he died, he repented because Rita prayed for him. Shortly afterward, her two sons died, and Rita was alone in the world. Prayer, fasting, penances of many kinds, and good works filled her days. She was admitted to the convent of the Augustinian nuns at Cascia in Umbria and began a life of perfect obedience and great charity. Sister Rita had a great devotion to the Passion of Christ. She once prayed, "Please let me suffer like you, Divine Savior." And suddenly one of the thorns from the crucifix struck her on the forehead. It left a deep wound which did not heal and which caused her much suffering for the rest of her life. And she died on May 22nd, 1457, and was canonized in 1900 by Pope Leo XIII. So today, as we honor Saint Rita, let us pray for all those who may be in difficult marriages or anybody who's abused or suffers in any way in those kind of ways, and ask her to come to their assistance, and also to have that hope that she had, that her prayers would be answered, that God's grace was greater than any kind of difficulty that she was facing, and especially ask Saint Rita for the grace of forgiveness, because she forgave her enemies, those who killed her husband, because in that day, you know, there was a lot of vendettas, and instead of seeking revenge, she rather sought forgiveness. St. Augustine, I think, said that forgiveness is renouncing that natural desire for revenge. So let us all pray that we too will have that forgiveness that Christ has shared from the cross to each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.